Title: Sub and Kick Balance with Live 12 Stock Packs Advanced. Alright, let's lock in the spine of a drum and bass mix, the kick and the sub, in rolling D&B, jungle adjacent stuff, anything in that 170-ish zone. The low end isn't just a layer, it's the structure, and the goal is not make the kick loud and make the sub loud. The goal is make them cooperate so the drop hits hard, translates to big systems, and doesn't fall apart the moment you start limiting. Today we're doing this fully stock in Ableton Live 12, using stock packs for the kick, and stock instruments and devices for the sub and mixing. And I want you to treat this as a repeatable workflow you can drop into any project. First, session prep. Set your tempo around 170 to 176 BPM. Now before you touch a single EQ band, get some basic metering in place. Put Spectrum on your master, or better, on a group you'll create later called the low-end bus. You can also throw a limiter on the master early just as a safety net, not as a loudness tool. Set the ceiling to -1 dB. Leave the rest mostly default. The point is, no surprises while you're building. Mindset check. We're not chasing a pretty spectrum curve. We're watching behavior. Is the low end stable hit to hit, or is it wobbling and spiking like it's arguing with itself? That movement tells you more than the exact shape. Now choose your sources. For the kick, pull from Ableton's stock packs that lean D&B or breakbeat. Load a kick into a drum rack pad or straight into Simpler. What you want is a defined transient, usually that click region somewhere around 2 to 6 kHz, and a tail that's short or at least controlled. Be careful with kicks that are already super boomy in the 50 to 80 region, unless you're intentionally building a kick forward low end. For the sub, we'll go with the most stable option. Operator. Create a MIDI track, load operator and set oscillator to a sine wave. Keep it simple, then set the amp envelope so it doesn't click. Attack at 0 to 5 milliseconds, release around 60 to 120 milliseconds. Decay depends on the groove, but for rolling patterns, somewhere like 300 to 600 milliseconds is a good starting ballpark. If you're doing held notes, you can use sustain. If you're doing more 808 style hits, pull sustain way down and rely on decay. Immediately after operator, add utility and set width to 0%. Mono, non-negotiable for true sub. Adjust gain later. Quick musical note. A lot of rolling subs land around E to G, about 41 to 49 Hz, or sometimes at 55 Hz. But don't force it because the internet said so. Your kick, your key, and your headroom decide what actually works. Now the big decision that most mixes avoid, and then pay for later. Who owns the true low fundamental? In other words, in that 45 to 90 Hz neighborhood, are you letting the sub be the boss or the kick? Option A, super common in rolling D&B. The sub owns roughly 45 to 60 Hz. The kick is more about 80 to 120 plus the click. Option B, more punchy, more kick forward. The kick owns maybe 50 to 70 and the sub tucks around it harder or focuses slightly lower and ducks more. Pick one strategy, because if both dominate 50 to 70, you get inconsistent weight, limiter pumping, and that classic why does my drop feel smaller when I turn it up problem. Next, tune the kick. Yes, tune it, even if it's subtle. Put tuner on the kick track or use Spectrum if you prefer. Loop a single kick hit. You're listening and watching for the dominant low frequency, often somewhere between 45 and 90. Now in Simpler, nudge transpose by maybe plus or minus 1 to 3 semitones until that low body supports your track and doesn't feel like it's canceling the sub. Don't overdo it, because extreme transpose can mess up the transient and the character. You're not making the kick melodic. You're just stopping it from being in a fistfight with your bass note. Now we get into the advanced part that changes everything, timing and phase. The first 80 milliseconds are basically the entire story of punch. First, alignment in time. Zoom in. Make sure the kick transient is exactly where you intend it on the grid. Then decide how the sub enters. If you want more punch, let the sub arrive a few milliseconds after the kick transient, think 5 to 15 milliseconds. That tiny pocket can make the kick feel like it has air to speak. Use track delay in Live as a groove tool, not just a technical fix. Two common feels. You can pull the kick slightly early with a negative delay, like minus 1 to minus 4 milliseconds, for urgency. Or push the sub slightly late with a positive delay, like plus 4 to plus 12 milliseconds, for a defined punch pocket. Keep it small. We are shaping impact, not creating a flam. Next, check phase relationship. On the sub track, you already have utility. Use the phase invert buttons. Start with inverting the left channel, then try right, and listen to what happens when kick and sub hit together. Choose the setting that gives you more stable low end and a stronger combined hit. It's not about scientific perfection. It's about the option that punches harder and translates. Noek, this is where people either do nothing and suffer, or overdo it and gut the vibe. We're doing intentional, gentle carving. On the kick, at EQ 8, high pass carefully, usually around 25 to 35 HZ. This is not to remove weight. It's to remove rumble that eats headroom and does nothing for the listener. If you chose option A, where the sub owns 45 to 60, then give the kick a gentle dip around 45 to 65. 1 to 3 dB, not 10. Medium Q, around 1 to 1.4. Then if the kick needs a bit more punch perception, a small wide lift around 90 to 120 can help. And if you hear cardboard or mud, dip a bit around 200 to 350. On the sub, EQ 8 as well. High pass very low, like 20 to 30 HZ, steep. If you add harmonics later, and it starts sounding cloudy, you might trim a little around 120 to 250. But here's a golden rule. Don't start carving random notches into the sub fundamental to fix masking. If the fundamental is the problem, it's almost always timing, tuning, note length, or sidechain. EQ is for cleanup, not for solving a structural argument. Coach note here, stop judging low end and solo. Indeed NB, the correct balance is the one that holds together once the hats, break, and mid-bass are playing. Do your final calls with at least a basic drum loop running. Now sidechain. We're aiming for DNB clarity, not EDM breathing. On the sub track, add compressor. Turn on sidechain, choose the kick as the input. Start with ratio 4 to 1. Attack around 5 to 15 milliseconds. Faster attack creates more space for the kick. Slightly slower can keep the sub rolling. Release around 60 to 120 milliseconds, and you'll adjust it to the groove. Then set the threshold, so you're getting about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. And listen carefully. The kick should pop through, but the sub should not feel like it disappears. If it's going whoosh whoosh, you've gone too far or your release is wrong for the tempo. DNB nuance. Sometimes you'll also duck your bass mids a touch, not just the sub. So the kick transient stays clean and a dense drop. Even 1 or 2 dB on a bass bus can suddenly make the kick feel like it has space. Now let's talk translation. Because a pure sine sub can feel massive on a system and basically vanish on a phone. The trick is harmonics above the fundamental without destroying the actual sub. A safe stock chain is operator into a Q8 for the low cut, then saturator. On saturator, drive 1 to 4 dB, soft clip on. Try a clipping style like analog clip. Then follow with another EQ8 to trim any extra buildup you introduced around 150 to 300. And keep that utility mono. If you want heavier character, use roar. But I strongly recommend doing it in parallel. Put roar on a return track, send a little bit of the sub into it, and then high pass the return around 120 to 180 HC so only harmonics come back. That way your fundamental stays clean engineering, and roar supplies readability and attitude above it. Now we build the low end bus. Group the kick and sub tracks into a group called LOWEDND bus. This becomes your truth zone. On that group, start with utility. Keep width tight, often 0% is correct for the actual low end. Then EQ8 for gentle cleanup. High pass around 20 to 25 HE, and only tiny cuts if something is resonating. Optionally add glue compressor, but only for gel, not for smashing. Try attack 10 milliseconds. Release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2 to 1. And aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction only on the loudest combined hits. Then a limiter for safety, ceiling at minus 1. And during the drop, you want 0 to maybe 1 dB of limiting, max. If it's doing more than that, don't celebrate. That's a sign the balance upstream is off. Advanced extra. Clip staging before limiting. If you want the low end to feel firmer without the limiter working, put saturator before the limiter on the low end group. Soft clip on. And just chafe peaks with a tiny bit of drive. Then the limiter barely has to move. That often sounds more solid than pure limiting. Now arrangement. Because in DNB, low end is as much micro arrangement as it is mixing. Try micro gaps in the sub on kick hits. Literally shorten the MIDI notes so there's a tiny pocket right at the kick transient. 10 to 30 milliseconds can be enough. You don't need to gap every kick. Choose priority windows. Usually the main downbeats in the bar are non-negotiable. Protect those. Also consider varying sub-note lengths across a phrase. If every bar has the exact same low-end density, your limiter gets fatigued and your drop feels flat. Make bar 1 a little longer, bar 2 a little shorter, add call and response in bars 3 and 4. You'll feel the drop get bigger without adding layers. And here's a great reality check. Make your low-end bus a truth zone by temporarily bypassing everything above 150 Hz. Quick method. Put in a Q8 on the master with a low pass at 150. If the groove doesn't feel stable down there, no amount of shiny tops will save it. Let's cover common mistakes so you can avoid them on purpose. Don't let kick and sub both dominate 50 to 70. Don't overside chain until it pumps like house music. Don't run stereo sub. Don't EQ the sub fundamental aggressively to fix masking. Solve it with timing, tuning, decay, and sidechain. Don't ignore kick tuning. And don't saturate the fundamental into mush. Generate harmonics above it. Now a quick practice exercise that I really want you to do, because it trains decision making. Create three tracks, kick, sub with operator, and your low-end bus group. Program a simple pattern. Classic two-step kick for 8 bars, and a rolling or syncopated sub pattern. Make version A, sub owns 45 to 60, on the kick, dip 45 to 65 a little, on the sub, lighter sidechain, about 2 to 4 dB. Make version B, kick owns 50 to 70, let the kick keep more low body, and make the sub duck harder, maybe 4 to 8 dB, and shorten the sub notes slightly, then bounce both, or at least a slash B them inside the session, and 2-4 checks. Low volume, can you still place the kick? Mono check by putting utility on the master at 0% width, does it tighten or collapse? Limiter reaction, does one version cause way more gain reduction? And small speaker test, does the bass line still feel present, meaning your harmonics are doing their job? Pick the winner based on translation, not based on which one is louder. Recap so you can remember this as a system. Choose compatible kick and sub sources from stock packs and operator. Decide ownership of the core low band so they're not fighting. Get punch with timing and phase checks, including track delay and utility invert. Use EQ8 gently and intentionally. Sidechain with compressor for control DNB clarity. Add harmonics with saturator or parallel roar above the fundamental. Group into a low-end bus for mono control, light glue, and limiter safety. This audio version is shortened for playback.